And on our program today, joined by Andy Bartlett, manager from the Legis State Park. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
He's really holding out for Emily, but...
Emily is not with us this morning. She's got a program later today and flexing her time to come to the Friends of the Legis tonight.
1 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, 1 o'clock this morning, or this afternoon, right at the campground entrance area there. You'll find her leading a hike looking at pollinators.
Pollinator power walk.
Yeah.
So dress appropriately for
it. Yeah.
And weather's pretty good today. Might want to take that one in.
I think so. Yeah, she did it yesterday and had quite a few people show up. And there's a lot coming into bloom in our prairies in the upper areas. So a lot to see and learn about if you show up today at 1 o'clock for her pollinator hike.
Okay. So, and this is just to be, she earlier in the week now, Tuesday, was it rainy or did she get her?
She got the Tuesday one off. Okay. That was like a beehive kind of construction craft project.
And, yeah, the bee hotels.
Yeah, the bee hotels. And then we got yesterday's off as well, ahead of and after rain events. And today I think we're going to be good too.
Okay. Well, she's got a lot more to do. First of all, you get naturalist, just a seasonal basis for you?
It is, yeah. So we're one of only 4 state parks in Iowa that get a seasonal naturalist every year. And we've had one since well before I even came to Legis, over a couple decades ago. Generally, it's a student. Doesn't always work out that way, but student at Iowa State studying to go into this line of work because we've got that pool of talent to tap into. But they work from about beginning of April through the end of October every year, just doing regular nature programs, hosting events and, meeting scout groups and volunteers and doing a lot of communication stuff for the park as well.
The actual events, now they're showing up several during the week, but in the past, it depends on, because they are limited hours.
Yeah. Right?
So maybe some weekend things will be going on and stuff like that. She's working on her schedule, or does she pretty well have it laid out what she's planning to do?
She's working on her schedule as far out in advance as she can.
Yeah.
We throw some other stuff at her too, though. So she's, being there's only 4 of these naturalists across the state, she is helping next week down at Walnut Woods State Park with their Take It Outside State Park camp, what we have later in July.
Yeah.
So she'll be gone all of next week helping at that camp as a guest instructor. She's also an instructor at our Legis camp later in July. So we throw some of that stuff in, which kind of messes with her schedule since we try to keep her around 40 hours a week during the summer. And so this weekend she's off and next weekend she's off on the ends of this camp. But other than that, that's why you're seeing some weekday programs this week. And after that, we get into July, you'll start seeing some regular weekend stuff as well.
She keeps busy.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And once again, it's Emily Kuchera.
Emily Kuchera.
Okay. Yep. And you'll see her out there. I know a couple of weekends ago, she was walking around with the snake.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking it around and letting people check the snake.
Yep, she likes hanging out at the campground entrance and greeting campers as they come in on Friday evenings and, just being there with that stuff and creating those connections to our visitors.
Well, this Thursday is the third one in the month, so that means we are talking about Friends of the Legis meeting.
Yes.
And really, the only times they don't meet are like the middle of winter.
Right, right. Yeah, we're in the thick of it with Friends of the Legis right now. They meet tonight at 6:30 at the park office for their regular June meeting. Lot to discuss, from projects to events to plans coming up for the rest of the year and fundraisers. So if you have any interest just to learn about what's going on and be a fly on the wall in the meeting, you're welcome to come in and join us for that tonight at 6:30 at our office.
And you can support Friends of the
Definitely.
Legis. Very easy.
Yeah,
it's easy to do. Again, you don't have to attend the meetings, but if you want to and find out what's going on, I think they did attract some new people after the centennial stuff. All the planning and everything they did there. You got a real good core.
We do. We've got a core group of a couple dozen people that are there every meeting. And what's really neat is each one kind of has their own interest in the park. Mm-hmm. One might be events, one might be parades, one might be fundraising. And so they all work together to kind of make all these individual pieces really dynamic for the group. And that's what makes this group really thrive. They've got a good collective and new ideas, new thoughts, new energy are always welcome into the mix.
So we've got their meeting tonight, and once again, it's in the park office. That's usually where they're held, and pretty easy to be a part of it.
Yeah, they got a lot of great stuff coming up.
All right, so let's talk about some of the things going on at the park. It rained, Andy. It rained again, big time.
Yeah, we had...
You've had a lot of big rains.
About 4 inches in the last two nights combined. And so Canyon Drive is currently closed to vehicle traffic because Pease Creek is just roaring right now. You know, read a lot of historic stuff. Carl Fritz Henning would always liken it to a mountain stream. And it's like a whitewater rafting experience right now is what you'd find down there. But it's not safe to drive through currently. It's not safe to walk in the stream right now. But... you can park at the Oakwoods area at the top or park at the Floodpole parking lot at the bottom, and you can access the parking lot or the Canyon Drive and the trails from either location. And honestly, there's really not a place in the park you can't get to, even though the road's closed. You just might have to do a little extra hiking to get to some of those other areas.
So this is what, third time already this spring?
Yeah, we had a big rain a couple Saturdays ago that shut the road down for a few days. And another one, you know, a month earlier than that. So, yeah, it's seasonal. Yeah,
you sent some pictures of where it actually moved the blocks.
Yeah, our first crossing, the stepping stones aren't cemented into the roadway like the rest of them. So they're anchored into the ground by a large concrete anchor and connected together by a chain. But when we get a really good one, that water will sweep those stepping stones out across the roadway, and then you're picking them back up with the tractor bucket and placing them back in and making sure that they're narrow enough so kids can step across and stuff like that.
So damages haven't been too bad. I mean,
it just takes
you got to do a little cleanup.
Yeah, it just takes a few hours after the water levels subside to scrape some of that sand and mud out of the crossings and reopen the road.
Well, at least at this point. And the river level, still, you got plenty of capacity?
River's in its banks. It's on its way up a little bit, but I haven't seen any projections yet that would cause us any concern about closing anything down for long term.
Ramp, boat ramp and everything.
Yep, boat ramp's open and accessible.
Accessible, so. People using it?
They're using it, yeah. Oh, I tell you what, the campground has been just crazy this June. We had a pretty normal May, which is, I mean, we got some numbers over the winter compared to other state parks at our annual statewide meeting. And I was actually shocked to learn that during the recreation season in 2024, we were the number one campground when it came to revenue, when it came to guest days, occupancy of all the state parks in Iowa, which shocked me because normally we're in the top 10 and sometimes the top five. Mm-hmm. But to be number one in some of those metrics that really define how busy a campground is was shocking. When you look at some other campgrounds that have well over 100 sites or even over 200 sites. So that's pretty special to be able to, you know, tout that we had one of the busiest campgrounds literally in our state park system last
year. Just constantly in it. Of course, you had your centennial. That was a big thing.
Yeah. And now we're looking at high occupancy levels right now in June. And, you know, it's not, I don't want to say it's a challenge because it's great to have the sites being used and the facility and the park being used, but well, we really got to plan our mowing schedules around when sites open up and when people are in there and sneak in and out a lot of times when they open up for maybe an hour at a time before the next person comes in.
So get it done when you can.
Yeah.
No hesitating here. One thing we do know, you do have a construction project going on, campground, one of the shower areas.
Yeah, we have two modern restroom shower facilities in the campground. Well, the east one in our east loop of the campground near the site 73, 74 area, that one was torn down here a couple weeks ago, and they've got the site leveled out. It's all fenced off, but what we're getting is a whole new building that's being prefab manufactured in a Huffcut plant in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. So it comes, all the walls come poured on a semi. They actually lift them off with a crane, set them in place, bolt them all together, and then connect all of the plumbing. So it'll be neat to watch that come in. We were really hopeful that it was going to be done by the 4th of July, but the manufacturer actually is backlogged in their factory. So we're looking at completely open to the public, hopefully by Labor Day, if not sooner. Okay. But there's work happening right now with, you know, the leveling, and footings are going to be poured here in early July by a concrete subcontractor. So there's a lot of work being done.
All right. So still moving ahead with that. People are always going to ask about Oakwood Shelter. Still?
Oakwood Shelter still in the works. It's not going to be torn down. It's going to be repaired. There's plans for its repair. It's just moving along slower than what we'd hoped it would, but we're getting there.
So you've had a lot of volunteers and people come out, the Corps, getting a lot of youth Corps people coming in. Are they still available, or what's happened? Are there hours being cut? What's happening with those restrictions? We've heard the rumors.
Right. Yeah. The CCMI, Conservation Corps Minnesota and Iowa, we've contracted them for invasive species work, and trail maintenance and repair projects. They did have a scare here earlier this spring, and some of their crew members were laid off or displaced. And I just actually talked to their crew director the other day, and they actually were able to hire them all back. So okay. We're kind of reconfiguring their schedule of how they're working with our state park system this year. And it sounds like we may get them 2 to 3 weeks this fall for trail construction projects or trail repair projects, which is pretty exciting because there's always work to be done on those trails out there.
Always need to.
Yeah.
Wear and tear, folks. People come out and use them, and then you get your weather has an impact on them too. So And they do a lot of work. It is. They're younger. They can go up and down there with bricks and things.
Yep.
That's what they do. We let them take care of that part of it. The house, for anybody that drives in or comes in on what,
250th? Yep. Comes into the east side of the park.
Yep. They're going to notice that space is empty.
Our park residence is gone. It was jacked up and put on a trailer and moved out of here. From what I heard, it was moved to Boughton, down by Perry, and put on a lot down there. But our state decided to discontinue the state-owned housing for our state parks. And we haven't had anybody in the house in almost 2 years now. And you know, we've worked our schedules around being able to accommodate when our high peak usage times are. So we have people working weekends, nights, busy days, holidays, that sort of stuff to meet those visitor demands. And we really haven't noticed or had any complaints about a lack in staff being available for our customers. But it's just a change. It'll be a really nice area though. Once we get things, the hole filled back in and leveled off, we're going to reseed that into native prairie and oak savanna, open oak woodland type stuff this fall. And so it'll be a really neat area. Just convert it back to a natural area.
Well, let's ask about the invasive species, because that is one of those ongoing challenges for us.
It is,
we've got a dent, but that's all it is a dent.
Yeah, we've made a large dent, to be honest with you, which is really volunteer driven. Had a great volunteer, Carl, who drives that effort and organizes work days. We've raised grant dollars locally here to source out some of those CCMI crews to help us with chainsaws and things. And we've cleared almost 45 to 50 acres in the last couple years doing that, just hand mechanical removal, and had really successful results from it. Versus, large scale machine removal type stuff you see elsewhere. But it's been a really great project. It's on pause right now because we've got birds that are residents there that are raising their young and using those areas now that hopefully are enhanced for them from the work we've done. So we don't want to disturb any of that. That's another reason why we have parks is for our wildlife. And so we're pausing on that. Later in August, we'll pick that effort back up after that primary nesting season's done and through the winter. And if anybody has a strong back and likes crawling around in the woods and using a pair of loppers, and honestly, we work an hour or two at a time once or twice a week, it's actually kind of fun. It's like forest therapy, so you're more than welcome to email me or call out to the office and find out how you can get on board with being a part of that crew that we put together.
You have different kinds, but I know you've got, what is it? I think there was hickory or something. There was some different kinds that you were really focusing on.
Yeah, oaks and hickories are keystone species. They support a lot of life, from insects to birds and deer and squirrels and everything in between. So what happens is when you get these invasive honeysuckle and autumn olive out there in our understory, it shades out the forest floor so much that not only does it compete for water and nutrients for our larger oak trees that are there, it really makes it impossible for those oak trees to regenerate or to, new acorns to find purchase in the soil and grow, because there is absolutely no sunlight reaching the forest floor. So it is a really important project, and it's a long range, long vision type thing, but it's there for the health of the forest for sure.
We got to throw one at you, because this happened to me this morning in the middle of town. It's fawning season. And you can come across the fawns laying in. So there was one laying in the middle of my backyard this morning. I'm going, mom's around somewhere, so just stay there.
Yeah.
But again, people, I know they come up on them and they'll find them when they're out there hiking and things like that. Just leave them.
Yeah,
they're fine.
Our department really promotes leave wildlife babies where you find them. And that's birds, fawns, rabbits, everything. The mom's not too far away. And luckily now, we're late enough in the season. I think most of those young wildlife are able to kind of move around on their own now. You see more fawns out and about. Mm-hmm. And even though they may be laying still there, they're well off.
They're thinking they're hiding.
Yeah.
This one in the middle of my backyard, that's not really hiding. That's taking a nap is what it is. So it happens too. Do you have some other plans, other things that are coming up?
You know, I want to talk a little bit about this weekend. And we might not have Emily doing any nature programs, but Friends of the Ledges are actually holding a really cool event this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. at our campground entrance. It's called Nature Journals, or Make and Take Nature Journals. Nan Bonfies, along with a local author, Amy, are going to be there to help visitors, young and old, whoever wants to come, create these cool, crafty nature journals. They'll provide some examples of stuff they've done in the past. And it's just kind of a neat literacy, ties into the literacy stuff they've been doing this year. We transformed a gazebo in our upper picnic areas into what we call the read-around gazebo. And there's a story featured on reading panels, a new one every month around the outside of that gazebo. Okay. So it ties into that. We had some grant funding locally from Pratt Fenton Trust and from the State Parks of Iowa Fund to help fund some of this stuff. It also put up a little free library at the campground entrance. So if you want to trade some nature theme type books with us, that service is now available. So I'd really encourage you, if you're available this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. to come out, and you don't have to come at 10. You can come anytime between 10 and noon. Stop in, make yourself a little cool nature journal, and find out some tips on drawing, writing, prompts to get started, that sort of thing. So
I'm going
to
say the 10 might be the cooler part of the day.
Yeah. So it'll be warm, but early. It's a shaded area, and we'll have a tent set up there too. And it's neat. I keep my own journal, honestly, both at home and at work, and kind of document some neat stories and people that I meet and things. So it is a way to look back and remember those minute details of different events or circumstances that happened to you that you wouldn't otherwise remember after years down the road.
See, look at what he learned just from doing Carl Fritz Henning.
That's right.
He kept a lot of journals.
He did. Yeah.
A lot of, and drew a lot of pictures too.
So, yeah.
You can if you wish. But
yeah. So a lot going on. You know, 10 o'clock this Saturday, 1 o'clock today, 6:30 tonight for Friends of the Ledges. Mm-hmm. Honestly, with all the stuff going on, one of the best ways to keep up to date on it is this weekly newsletter I send out called Ledges Nature Notes. And if you're not already on that distribution list, you can call me at the office or shoot me an email. It's probably the easiest way, and I can add you to the list. And it goes out every Sunday evening. It talks about as a running calendar of events for the whole summer, but it highlights stuff that's coming up that week.
Sure.
A lot of pictures in it of projects, flooding, tree plantings, all kinds of things that are going on an individual week. So it is a really good way to stay up to date on what's coming up in the short term and the long term at the park.
It's perfect. One of the things that I recall coming up, and we talked about a little bit ago, but you did have some funding and were able to create your own little nursery.
Yeah.
So that was about a month or so ago.
Earth Day that we built it, and our wildlife diversity team at the DNR does a habitat management grant every fall, and I was successful in applying and getting funding through that last fall, and we wanted to build a pea gravel nursery bed for tree seedlings. So the idea is you plant them in there in the spring, and we set up a watering system for them, and which we haven't needed lately with all the rain. It's been
nice.
Which
is okay.
Yeah. And these seedlings grow, and within that gravel bed medium, there's so much porous space in it that their root systems, those fibrous roots, just go crazy in there, and they put on these really tremendous root growth in their first year. So then after that year of growth in there, even up to 2 years, but you really don't want to put them in there longer than that, we'll pull them out and we'll plant them in the park. We have a tree planting area that we did this spring as kind of a test plot with 100 trees, and I'll bet about a third of them made it in the gravel bed. Out of 105 trees we planted, 5 didn't make it. So we're going to take these vigorous growth, you know, trees out of the nursery bed this fall and put them in the ground to kind of replant where we did our bigger planting this spring. But then, I mean, it's there all the time. We can stick a tree in there and pull one out anytime and stick it around. So I'm really excited about this and what the future holds for different planting sites around the park.
It's going to end a variety, cross-section and everything else. Foresters loved you. They love you when you mix things up out
there. Definitely. It's like your investment portfolio, right? You want to diversify it so you don't have any one, you know, green ash or Dutch elm disease or something like that wipe out everything.
Okay, so the email you send out is called Nature Notes. It comes out on Sunday night, Monday morning, that time frame. And once again, we've got Emily's going to have activities going on, but she's going to, your camp. I got to ask about that. Is it filled up?
It's close. I was told registration was going to be over after the end of May, but I think you can still register. Last I looked a couple days ago, there was 4 spots out of 30 still left.
Okay.
So July 21st, that week, is a week-long day camp at Ledges. It's a reinvigoration of what the University of Iowa did for wildlife camps the last 7 or 8 years. They have ceased to do these wildlife camps in our state park, so our department has picked it back up. And it's just newly named, same concept. Kids come out that are coming into 3rd through 6th grade. They spend the week with local teachers and naturalists, and they learn about awesome nature-related, why the park is the park, basically.
And I'm guessing, besides Emily, you've had a pretty good core group of local people that
we have
enjoy the outdoors and conservation. And
yeah, we've had guest speakers that, I mean, everybody listening probably has heard of some of our guest speakers and our instructors over the years. Emily will be there this year. Kelly Grothis from Madrid, her dad used to work for the DNR, so they've been long partners and teachers in this camp too, so she'll be back helping out. It's fun. It's a lot of fun for these kids for the week to be able to wade through the stream and learn about the birds and the trees and everything else.
And we didn't even talk about Christmas coming up in July. So.
Yeah.
there's more coming.
Got to get on that Nature Notes listserv and you'll know it all.
Right away. Andy Bartlett, manager, Ledges State Park. Canyon Road closed so far. Might be open later. We don't know.
Well, it won't be open yet today, Thursday. But Friday we'll reassess. And with the amount of rain we've had and how fast that stream's going right now and what I've seen over the years, I'll bet maybe by Sunday we can salvage the weekend if we can get in there early and get it cleaned out. But it's high. Yeah, it's pretty high.
A lot of water moving there.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Jim.